This week's parsha, this parsha's Emor. Again, we haven't had an opportunity to address each other in this context. So first of all, welcome back to all of you. Hopefully you had the opportunity to spend the last 6 weeks in a productive fashion. I know it's difficult. And I want to address the difficulty that many of us feel right now coming back from a nice lengthy vacation, which many of you spent the vacation time, not with us in Israel, but some of you did, but in other states, United States of America. There are three reactions throughout the course of someone's return from a Beis Manim like this. No other time do you have this reaction, because by Sukkot it's too early in the year. At this point in time anyways, you're not really having to work so hard, so it's a little bit different that long break we have. And there are other times we have breaks, like a Chanukah, or a longer weekend, we have a Sunday and a Thursday off. But this is the break that really is going to separate the men from the boys. And there are three reactions that I get every year coming back from this break. I'll tell you what they are. Reaction number one. People who feel like, okay, I got 6 weeks left, they have 1 foot here, 1 foot there already. They figure, 6 weeks left, I'll try my hardest for 6 weeks and I'm off to my next part of my life. But they figure, I'm going to try if I can, and you know, it's hard to get back into it, but they'll give an effort. That's one person. The best person, the best addict, I should say, is one who says, this is it, like this is my chance of life right now is running out. My last chance to spend time in Eretz Yisrael. Spend time just focusing on my religious growth. The rest of my life will be spent mostly on my physical well-being and my parnasa. Even though, of course, I will for sure make time for learning. I'm for sure going to daven every single day. Am I right? Right? It's a no-brainer. Shabbat is a no-brainer. I'll even learn a little bit. But regarding putting in effort, really, religiously, this is really my last 6 weeks I'm really going to put a lot of effort in. And therefore, I'm going to give my all and try to get a lot done these last 3 weeks. These last 6 weeks, I'm sorry. And there are people like that as well. Hopefully the more the merrier, everyone should be like that. But there is also a nice minority who have a third attitude. And that attitude, and I've heard it both this year and the years past, the attitude is that after coming back and seeing what my life was like back in America and returning right now, I realize that I have been wasting my last few months by being here in the first place. It's not what I'm doing with my life. I'm not going to be doing with my life. I feel like I've been really wasting my time. And therefore, the next 6 weeks, I also expect to be a similar waste of time. That's the attitude I've heard people say in the past. I've even heard with my own ears this year a similar approach. And I want to address that third attitude, as well as the first two. This week's Parsha is Parsha Emor. And Rav Schwab points out, this is Parsha in the Sefer that he has in the Parsha, Beis Shereva. He points out that we have an interesting set of concepts in the very beginning of the Parsha that are come after each other. I want to highlight only two of these points. There are two concepts that repeat, that follow each other that he tries to explain. He actually goes through more than two, but I want to only address two of them right now. That is, you have the idea of what's called a Korban Todah. And we know there are, the Gemara of Brachos brings down, there are four who are chayav lehodos. There are four who are obligated to give their thanks to Hashem. We often relate these things with Berachas HaGomel. There are four people who we take Berachas HaGomel: someone who was sick and is healed, someone who crossed a desert or a sea, someone who was a desert, a sea, and someone who was in a, what's the fourth one?
Jail,
thank you. Someone who's in jail and has been gotten out of jail. We extend this to things like, for example, a car accident, a dangerous situation. We extend it to the situation of a person who flies a plane or a woman has a baby. These are all possible dangers or crossing seas, etc. And therefore we extend it. But it's based on the Korban Todah is a thank you to Hashem. What am I thanking Hashem for? What if I'm 85 years old? I live to 120. 85 years old, maybe I'll be lucky to live another 5 years. And a person, you know, flies over the Atlantic. Berachas HaGomel, according to many opinions. But Berachas HaGomel. But this guy is probably going to die in the next few years anyways. Or even for us. Baruch Hashem, we're all, you know, actually we're all, except for me, we're all pretty young. 19, 18, 20, in that vicinity. And you have a lot of life to live, but really you're going to die also. I hate to say it. And 100 years from now, 101, 102 years from now, you're all probably going to not be alive anymore. Hopefully you have a great legacy of people who will carry on your name, both literally and figuratively, and tell your stories to everyone around them, how great their great-great-grandfather was. But what am I celebrating, thanking Hashem for giving me a life that is going to end very soon? Again, relatively speaking. Not very soon, hopefully not tomorrow. But 100 years, in the grand scheme of life, is pretty soon. So Schwab says it is a concept in general of thanking Hashem for even a chayei shah. The fact that you have an opportunity, if I have one extra day to be alive, I owe a karsa to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I can be alive for an extra year, karsa to Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I'm sick, God forbid, and the doctor gives me a minimal time to live, but I was in jail, I got out of jail, it's better than going, all said to be said there. But I'm going to die maybe within the next few months. But you have a few months that God granted you extra. And therefore you owe it to Him to thank Him for the time that you have here. Achai Shah, which means momentary, temporary life, deserves our karsos Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm lucky to be here. That being said, says Rav Schwab, immediately following that discussion, we have the concept of what's called Kiddush Hashem, found in the Parsha as well. Kiddush Hashem, we usually relate with dying. You die, I'll be Kiddush. I was speaking to someone yesterday, said to me, you actually have to die? You have to die if someone is going to threaten you to do this or die? The answer is, yes. The opportunity would arise. Someone would put a gun to your head and say, either you do Gilui Arayos, you kill someone else, you do a Avodah Zarah, or I kill you, you say, take my life. We just finished saying Chai Shah. God granted you life. We thank you for life. And here I am ending life God gave me. The answer is, you think life is important if you don't have Torah values? You think life is valuable if you don't have Torah values? Not only is it not valuable, it will be the worst thing that you were ever given. Because at the end of the day, and anyone who comes to the pre-shir, which has not been many of you, at the end of the day, it's the example we brought down, a person who has a beautiful gold nose ring, an animal, a pig, is given a gold nose ring. They have a precious gift, but what they do with the nose, they use their nose to snout around in the garbage. And their beautiful gold nose ring becomes ruined. And you know what they say, the person put it on there? I wish I had never given you the nose ring. Because instead of taking something precious, you've ruined it. You think Chai Shah, you think 100 years matters? It only matters if you have a backdrop of Kedusha with it. It's not a big deal to be alive if you use your life in a way that's shtus. You want to know what coming back here does for you? It lets you realize, my gosh, look how shallow people live their lives sometimes. Not your family members. But someone told me they have friends in college. And they describe their friends in college have nothing, they don't care about anything in the world at all. As a positive, they're saying this. They're so relaxed. They don't have a care in the world. They don't care about anything in the world. And that's what we're striving for. To be alive so I have not a care in the world. Just take my life away. Why are you even here then? Not here in Israel. Why is your heart beating? So that you could have not a care in the world. That sounds like the silliest thing I ever heard. It's true that our life is so significant and crucial. We thank God for every second that we have, but only assuming that we use it for a reason, that He cares for us to use it for it. And we're willing to end it if the time would come for us to do it, because that shows that I live my life by God's say-so. And that makes me kadosh. Live a life of hours of Chai Shah of Tuma is a waste, and you will, I promise you, you will wish one day you never had it. Because when the time comes for you to face your judgments for your Chai Shah, and it was full of non-kedusha, but the opposite, you're going to cry to God, why did you give me a life? And He's going to say back to you, frankly, I have no idea. That's an Oilam Yom HaDin. What are you going to say then? You think this time is a waste? This is the time. People say, come back to the real world. I hate to break it to you. This is, right now, this is your only real world. A dollar bill that you have is not a real world. That's something that you get in order to provide for your family so you can eat and you can be alive. For what reason? So I can have not a care in the world? Doesn't sound like a great plan. I'm alive so I can get close to God and be kadosh. I'm not telling you the only way this was learning Torah. I'm not telling this to you right now. I'm not suggesting you can only succeed by learning Torah. But I promise you, That to live a life so you could have amount of care in the world is a waste of your life. It's a waste of life God gave you. You might as well take a pig, give him a precious, precious gold band on his nose so he takes it and just throws it through the garbage all the time. Because that's what you're doing. Your life is that gold ring. You can be a pig if you want to. And then regret later on having received that gold ring. But don't sit and question now, what am I doing here? What a waste of my time. This is the only time you're here to learn how to spend your time properly. So when the Torah tells you, you give a korban Torah for a chai isha, for being alive, you also know that life only matters, I'm also ready to end it for the right reason. And it's not so you can have no cares in the world. I don't care how many friends you know who are doing that, and how much fun you think it is. It does not mean it's a way to live your life. In the Sefer Nesivah Shalom by the Shlomo Rebbe, he points out a fascinating point, and that is when the Rambam describes the Hilchos of Kiddush Hashem, he does so in the part of his work called Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. You wouldn't expect to find it in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. There you find Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, but why is giving up my life, or why is giving up my life? Why is living as a Kiddush Hashem? Why is it Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah? Because that is the Yisod of our lives. The same way it's a yisod to believe in God and to fear God, it's a yisod to live your life knowing why you're living. I'm not here to follow fantasy worlds, whether it be, like mentioned, in the computer fantasy worlds or in the sports world of fantasy worlds. You're not here for that reason. You're not here to cheer on a group of animals who are dressed as human beings sometimes, that are throwing around a pigskin or a round ball into a basket. It's fun, and a lot of times don't do it, but that's not why you're on the world. To spend more hours a day following these foolish behaviors, by the way, I happen to enjoy myself, but to spend the majority of your free time focusing on that, or watching for 10 things like movies, which aren't real stories, they're just entertainment. To not have a care in the world other than just entertaining myself, would be a violation of the Rambam of Yisodei HaTorah being creating a Kiddush Hashem. And to think that there is the real world and here is just what am I doing until I, for some reason, get to the next step of my real life, is the greatest error you can imagine. Because it couldn't be more backwards. I'm not suggesting your life will most be in learning Torah, but I'm suggesting that is the major part of your life. Not in hours, but in the purpose and point. Now, Kiddush Hashem, we usually relate to being dying al pi Kiddush Hashem. But the Rambam really, when we talk to Kiddush Hashem, we talk about living al pi Kiddush Hashem. The key is to live with this as your motto. What is my life? What is worth living my life for? And by definition, what's worth dying for? I hope you wouldn't die for your sports team. I hope you wouldn't. If you would, by the way, I mean, people are like that. There are soccer fans that kill each other over their sports teams. There are certainly people who are diehard fans. If you wouldn't die for it, then you shouldn't live for it. There's only one thing worth dying for: your family and God, your connection to your religion. It's worth dying for it because that makes life meaningful. That means that only that is worth living for. It doesn't mean you can't have other things in your life, but that is what the battery of your life is, and only that. And I'll tell you the following interesting idea that the Sefer Shalom brings down as well. He says that around this time of year, the Sefer Shalom time of year, we always have similar parshos of Vayikra coming up. It could be earlier Vayikra, but it's always Vayikra. Vayikra, in the Sefer Vayikra, talks about Tumah and Tara and Kedusha like we have in our parsha, Kedusha. Why is this the Sefer HaOmer backdrop? Why are we talking about Kedusha, Tumah, Tara, and Sefer HaOmer? He says a beautiful pshat. He says that we're about to take a journey. We're on a journey right now to receive the Torah. It's incumbent upon us to first figure out Tumah and Tara, get rid of our Tumah, make ourselves taller in order to get to a state of Kedusha, which is what the receiving of the Torah is. And he gives the following beautiful mashal. So imagine we just had a royal wedding. We had Prince William get married to, I don't know, Kate Middleton. I knew that was Middleton. I forgot the first name. It's Kate. Kate Middleton. Now, it's a royal wedding. What's that?
Saxon's there, yeah, so.
Question?
Sir.
The royal wedding, imagine, I don't know what Kate Middleton's background is, but imagine she was some like farm girl where she used to have no manners, which was very uncouth. She didn't know what she, you know.
She's a commoner.
I know it's a big issue with commoners, but I'm even more than a commoner. Imagine that she is a pauper, a farm girl, not a commoner, even less than a commoner. I mean, less as far as his social status, less. She walks while chewing gum, and talks like she's, you know, she. That wouldn't happen in the royal palace. Well, you don't sit and walk and chew gum in the royal palace. I'm sure of it. She would not use a napkin properly, but she's being welcomed now. There was a love affair that the prince fell in love with a commoner, and even less than that, a farm girl who never doesn't know how to read. She's illiterate. She doesn't know how to walk nice. She doesn't know how to dress like a gentlewoman. Like a proper woman. So you know what she does before she gets married? You know what she does? She takes classes in how to act like a princess. There are many movies that you'll see where you have someone who's trying to fit in. I remember when I was younger, there was a movie, I don't want to mention it because it was inappropriate even. But movie where the person was trying to pretend to be a high-class citizen, but maybe she wasn't. And she had to take lessons of proper etiquette. How do you walk? How do you talk? How do you even eat? Which silver to use when? Because when you want to go into royalty, you have to start learning how to be royal. It requires you to go through a Torah process in order to become kadosh. You and I are on the journey right now of trying to get to say the kedusha, which will happen in 5 weeks from now, Matan Torah. You can be alive on Shavuos, but not receive the Torah. I mean, each and every one of us. Because if you don't go through a process of learning proper etiquette, then you'll be around, you'll be involved in other people receiving the Torah, and you'll just be a nice witness of it. You'll feel no feelings towards it whatsoever because you didn't become Torah. How to become Torah? It's very simple. God gave you the keys to how to become Torah. That's called the mitzvahs. You follow, that's your etiquette. You want to have to become a Ben Melech, how to become a prince? I gave you 613 rules to follow. You keep that means that you accept my Torah. My Torah binds you to me. It makes you b'ni b'chor Yisrael. You are the king, God. You're a son that makes you a prince. As we go through up to now, coming hopefully to the state of Matan Torah, it's your job to become a prince. And that entails you getting rid of Tumah and taking upon yourself certain steps of Torah. And this is the best time to do it. And you are so lucky to be back here right now. Without the foolish things in our life that we're so obsessed with, which, by the way, you can enjoy minimally. I'm not saying you can't have it at all. But to make that your life is a mistake. You are now the opportunity to spend your time trying your hardest to involve yourself in a state that will hopefully get you to a state of Tara. I read a story. I think it's one of the most important points that most of us miss in our year in Israel. And I spoke to someone yesterday and certainly missed the point. There's a story brought down in Sefer Halil L'Shabech that Rav Binyamin Finkel, who was a mashgiach, told a story that one time there was supposed to be a big in Chalon. It was a very big non-Orthodox community. They wanted to have a lecture of trying to encourage non-Orthodox, and they went, and the person supposed to be lecturing couldn't make it last second. And about a week before the date, they called Rabbi Yom Finkel and they asked him, "Would you mind?" He'd never been before, no association with this group at all. "Would you mind being the guest lecturer at this presentation?" He said, "Okay." And he got directions to the place, and he showed up at the place where he thought it was, and he knocked on the door, and there was no answer. He knew the person's name was Moshe, who was supposed to be visiting at the house that was hosting it. Moshe himself was not affiliated, but he was gracious to host this event. There was not an answer. He looked. And he looked inside of the window and it was dark. And he's like, "Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? It's hard for me to get here. It took an hour to get here in the first place, and there's no one here. I must be in the wrong place." And he looked inside at the address again, and the address matched up with his address. And it said on the board, Moshe. And he knew it was the right place. But to knock again. Finally, Moshe opens the door, embarrassing enough, in his pajamas. It's a true story. And he's like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Who are you?" He's like, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up, but I was told to give a lecture, and I thought this was the house, and you're Moshe," and I said, "The name of the word Moshe." So he said, "My gosh, I'm so sorry, I didn't tell you. We didn't make a final date in the end, because the final date, people weren't able to make it, and we just canceled the shiur." So Yom Finkel said, "Okay, that's fine, I'm here already. But maybe we can learn together. You know, I can learn together a little bit ourselves." And he's like, "Okay, we'll do that." And he brought him inside the house. And And he said, is there anyone else here you can bring to also learn with us a little bit? Maybe someone else can come and learn also. So I have a son who's like 12, you know. He's like, okay, bring him, we'll learn. And I'm fine giving it to you also. I'm happy to give my Torah over. I'm excited to give the Torah over. I'm happy to give it to you as well. Woke his son up, and his son came, and he got dressed, and they learned. And he said, I'm going to learn a half hour with you of certain things and a half hour with you with Gemara. And the guy says, well, when you get to the Gemara, let me know. Tell me when you get to the Gemara part. Okay. And a half an hour afterwards, he goes, I'm back to the Gemara right now. And the Rav didn't understand why Moshe wanted to know, but Moshe stood up and he said, he's back literally running the first time in his life. He made a Shechianu. The young people didn't know what to do. So should I say main to it? Is it a brach? You can make out of it. Anyways, he learned for half an hour with Gemara with him, and that was it. He left. Went about a second way. 20 years later, he's walking in the street. Someone goes and says, Rebbe! Looks over, he doesn't recognize him. He says, do you know who I am? Remember who I am? He looks close enough that you look like that person Moshe 20 years ago I met, but he had a big pace and a big beard. He says, you don't understand, when you left our house, you left with such a simcha of Torah on your lips. My son and I were forever changed. I run a kolel now in Yerushalayim. My son's one of the rebbeim of the kolel. Man was blown away. They said to him, the reason why you're learning effectively is because I did it with simcha. I didn't do it with bitterness. I didn't do it. You didn't make me learn out of force. I was excited for the first time in my life to ever pick up a Gemara. I was excited to learn the simcha. People like us who grew up in an educational system where we learned Gemara many times beforehand, we view it as a burden, as annoying, as frustrating. And it's the greatest gift. It's the diamond that Hashem gives from the world and lets us in a little insight to Him. It doesn't mean it's fun. It doesn't even mean that you enjoy it. But you have to realize that you have the luckiest gift in the world. You have a gift from the King Himself. The King of Kings. And that's what makes you a prince. And that's what makes you royalty. And you have the opportunity of a lifetime right now for the next 5 weeks to get rid of your tumma, to embrace your tara, and finally, hopefully, to become a proper prince. I just want to end off with one last shot and then we'll go. There's a sefer called Lekach Tov that the very first piece of this parsha points out, and he quotes a sefer by the name of Zichron Meir by Rav Meir Rubman, and he says the following shot. He says that, you know how we always say all people are created equal? You always say that? It's not true. They're not equal. It's not true, by the way. People are much better than other people, much smarter than people, much more talented than other people, much more athletic than people.
Priests and Levites.
And when it comes to the Jewish religion, the same thing. There are people who are better than others. They're different, not better, different. They're not equal, for sure. A Kohen is very different than a regular guy. And a Kohen Gadol, even more so. You're not equal. We're not the same as each other. By the way, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You're different than someone else. It's okay. You can be different than someone else. What he does say, though, he says that whatever you were given, the only job you have is to do that job, whatever it was that you're supposed to be doing. And I'll give you a proof even that when you're created differently, you don't have the right to be like a regular commoner. I mentioned before the royal wedding. So Prince William is the heir to the throne. But he has a younger brother. His name is Prince Harry. Prince Harry is like the party animal of England. At least he was a few years ago. I don't know if he still is. Anyways, he makes the front page of the paper all the time of the tabloids. You know why? Because he's acting regular. Regular. He's acting like a regular college boy who does things wrong, who drinks and probably does drugs and gets arrested for DUIs and has a spat with his girlfriend in public. Like every other college kid in England. He acts like a pretty regular college kid in America. But he's not regular. He's royalty. When you're royalty, you don't have the ability to act regular. You're not allowed to be regular. Whether you like it or not, it's how you're created. Now the truth is, you're lucky to be royalty. But that also has responsibility to it. And therefore, a regular boy who's a prince gets in a lot of hot water from the press for acting regular. Because he's not regular. And frankly, when it comes to the world, neither is any Jewish person. We are a somewhat racist people. You know why? We feel we're princes. And only we're princes. The world can be great people, but they're not princes. To be a Ben Melech, you have to be chosen that way. And only you and I were chosen that way. You want to join us? You can join us. I'm not asking you to. I don't want you to even. It's It's better for us if you don't, because it could be bad if you join us and you're not a good guy. But you're lucky to be a prince. What you do with it is up to you now. Whatever your job is, though, you better not fall short of it. Because if you're holding on to an important task, you don't do your job, there's going to be serious ramifications for that. The worst thing you try to do is try to be like everyone else. The rest of your friends doing something that's dumb, the silliest thing you can do is try to act like them. It's silly. It's inappropriate. And you'll regret one day, God gave you the special golden band that you went through the garbage with. Chaval for you. One person see Mashas, him see Mashas, is your ability to learn through Tosfos. And they're equal levels, because you're different talents, and you're created differently. He has more talent. He's making better than you. He's more talented than you are. It's fine. He's smarter than you are. That's fine. Who cares? Your job is to be him. Your job is to be the best that you can be. And when he makes a Shema Shas, you better figure out your first Tosfos. And then you'll be on the same page as each other. And I'll tell you one last story, and then we'll end. And that is, there was a man one time who was a boxer. Famous story I heard in Moshe Feinstein. I heard this in being the main character of the story. He was a boxer, and he was not affiliated at all, but he was Jewish. And he had a son. Somehow his son went to Sunday school, Hebrew Sunday school, and he became somewhat inspired. And he decided to start to learn. And his boxer father, who had very low connection to his son now, because they had such different likes and dislikes, you know, he said, "What are you doing? Wasting your time with the books? Come in, let's play around, let's run around." Said, "No, I want to learn." And the son became very, very religious. And he became a Talmid of Moshe Feinstein. The boxer couldn't get it, but as he went on in years, he said, "This is my only child, this is my son, and I want to connect him a little bit. And he's obviously interested in connecting the way I live. Maybe I'll connect the way he lives." And he said to him sometime, "Would you sit down with me and learn with me? Could you tell me what excites you so much about this knowledge that you look every day, you study in the room? Can you engage me in it and teach me a little bit?" So I was so excited, and they learn. And they learn. And every day, half the hour turns to an hour, turns to 2 hours every day, and they start learning. For a year, they learned. After 1 year, they finished one daf of Gemara. And the father closes the book and says, "I want to make a siyum. I want to start my first daf of Gemara." Sounds like, you know, "Dad, I'm not sure that doesn't fly so much. People finish books, maybe chapters, but a page." So he said, I want you to ask your rabbi. I want to do a one daf of Gemara." So came up to Moshe Feinstein. He said, "You know, Rebbe, it's a little strange, but I'm embarrassed the question to ask. My father's not really learning, but he started learning with me, and he finished a daf. He wants to make a seam on it. Like, what do you think?" So Moshe Feinstein said back to him, "Not only is it okay, but I'm going to go to the seam." The next day, he made a seam on one daf of Gemara. And that night, the man went to sleep and never woke up. The man died in sleep. And Moshe Feinstein himself gave the eulogy at his funeral, and he said, "Yesh kone olamo b'kama shanim." There are people who finally get Olam Haba over many years. Some get it with Shah Achas in a moment, and some get it with Daf Achas, with a Daf. And this man earned his Olam Haba by learning one Daf of Gemara. His Daf was the equivalent to someone else's Siyum HaShas. That's where he was holding. That's what his job was. Kedoshim Tiyu, and this, one of my students, Jeff Fuchs, asked me this question. He BBM'd me, I never answered. So maybe he'll listen to this, it'll be the answer. He asked me, "Is Kedoshim Tiyu a separate mitzvah? Is it number 613, 612? Is it in Torah? Is it one of the mitzvahs?" So I saw the answer is it's not a mitzvah. It's a reality. It's a state of existence. You're born into a kaddish. You're lucky to be a prince. You're zocha. That means you don't have luggage that you will have. You can't run around like an animal, like Prince Harry can. You're not allowed to. I'm sorry. But you can't make your life about just having no cares in the world. You can't. You were given that luxury. But you're given the greatest gift in the world, the ability to be a prince. You have to learn what etiquette of being a prince means. You have 613 laws. That's how you become a prince. You have the diamond of jewels. That's the Torah. That's how you become a prince. When you're back here now for 5 weeks, don't sit and ponder what it's like back in America. How I wish I could be back in my bed watching the highlights of the basketball game or follow my fantasy team better. Those are called fantasies. Those are not realities. You're in this world for a limited amount of time and you have a chayei shah. You have moments to be proud of. And all they are is a few moments. 100 years in the lifetimes is a few moments. Your chayisha is only important if you have a reason to die for things. And those things you should live for also. Which we zocha. We should die for our sports teams. We should die for our stock market. We shouldn't even die for financial reasons. We should die for God. We should die for Kedusha. We should die for inspiration. And if we die for that, that means conversely we also should be living for that. Have a good Shabbos.